Please have your Bibles open at Philippians chapter 4. We all know, don't we, that sometimes life can be tough. All sorts of difficulties arise. Whatever age we are in life, there are different challenges, different hurdles for us to overcome. And being a Christian, it doesn't mean that we're immune from these pressures. They come to us just the same as they come to other people. And sometimes being a Christian can mean that even additional pressure comes upon us. Sometimes as Christians, we find ourselves maybe being persecuted or picked on by people of the world, by unsympathetic relatives who can't understand what's going on. And then of course we have that inward struggle with sin as well, which keeps on going. We grow closer to the Lord, more like the Lord Jesus. So our conscience becomes more and more sensitive. And it can feel like a real battle, a real struggle. And then when something comes along, we may be calling out to the Lord, why? Why has this happened to me? But as Christians, there's something that's really different between us and the people of the world. By and large, we face the same pressures. But in whatever situation we find ourselves in, whatever circumstances come along and crash down upon us, no matter how crushed and perplexed we may be feeling, the Christian is a person who has always got something to smile about. We've always got a reason to be joyful, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whether we're in good health, whether we're in bad health, whether we're in a time of peace or enduring a time of stress. The Christian is a person who can always, always have a smile on their face. Not because they've got some sort of extra strong stoic backbone that helps them to keep a stiff upper lip. But no, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Because we know that no matter how hard and winding and difficult this life is, we know where we're going. We know what comes next. And because of that, we're able to rejoice in whatever circumstance that the world throws at us. It really does set us apart from the people of the world. The people out there in the world, if they listen to the culture, if they listen to the entertainment industry, if they look at people's ambitions, it seems to be that if you've got lots of money and you're healthy, that's it, it's all okay. Is having lots of money and being healthy make you happy? No, it doesn't. People are always looking for something else. They achieve their first milestone, they get to that goal, and they thought they were going to be happy when they got there. They're not happy at all. They keep on searching for something else. And the reason they do that is no cliche. It's a God-shaped hole in the middle of their lives. And they're constantly restless until they find their Saviour. As Christians, we've already found our Saviour. We've got something to smile about. We've already found that thing that the world is searching for and striving for. The problem is they're determined to run away from the only person who can give them peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those of us who have put our trust in him, those of us who know who he is, we know that the moment that we put our trust in him, the moment we were born again, we became a different kind of person. And we are now people who are born again, who have got that certain hope that we know that the best is yet to come. That we know that we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That we're going to have those resurrection bodies just like him. And we've got that reassurance that he's always with us. We recognize that this world is a world that we're just passing through. That it's temporary. And we know where we're going. So even when life is tough, we are still able to smile. Maybe sometimes through gritted teeth, but we are still able to smile. And that is what these much loved verses in Philippians 4 are telling us. And in times of trouble, the verses that we're looking at Acts now are verses which bring great support and comfort and encouragement. I know the word now, I've been going through difficult times. These are verses that I've turned to and meditated on. And if you find yourself going through difficult times, just run through these verses, memorize them, think what they really mean, because they are wonderfully encouraging verses. So let's just start thinking about them. And first of all, let's just remind ourselves about the context. Whenever we read scripture, it's always good to remind ourselves of what goes beforehand, because so often, especially in these letters that Paul wrote, they're closely written, tightly packed logical arguments. So one step leads on to the next step and on to the next step. So it's important that we remind ourselves that Paul is instructing this Philippian church, this church which he dearly loves, about running the Christian race. In the last chapter, he encouraged Christians to stop looking at their feet and to focus on the tape at the end of the track, like a 100-meter sprint. Everyone's head is up, looking at the goal, looking to get there as quick as they possibly can. That's where our focus should be. We're going to be with Christ, and we should be looking there, not looking at our feet. Then in the start of chapter 4, he shifts the focus from the end of the race and starts talking about how we should run the race. And there was that surprise there, which we looked at last week, where he called for love and unity within the fellowship, where he pleaded with these two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, to stop arguing and to get on, to work together. Because even though we're in a race and we're in a competition, we're looking to the end and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not competing against each other. We're all in it together. The competition is against the darkness of this world, against those sinful, evil desires which are still in our hearts, against the temptations that are thrown at us, maybe even the persecutions that are thrown at us. These are the things that we're competing against. We're not competing against one another, trying to outdo each other in holiness. Instead, we're all called to work together as a body, be in a place where we serve one another, putting one another first, being self-sacrificial, putting ourselves into the background, and lifting up and caring for other people. And together, we're on this race, this road to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's talking about how we need to be united together, loving one another, really caring for each other as we run this race. And now in these verses, he starts talking about our mindset and attitude as we go through. And this is a reassurance for us every time that we come across any hurdle that we've got to cross. This reveals the sort of heart and mind and behaviour we should be having as we run this great race. And the first thing we see, isn't it, is joy. Rejoice. And we're called to rejoice in the Lord. Not rejoice in the things that we've done. Not rejoice in the giftings that we've got. Not even to rejoice in our salvation. The way that we've escaped from that lost eternity. But to rejoice in the Lord. With our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. With the fact that we're now in a right relationship with God the Father. We are people who are indescribably blessed because we have this great honour of being God's people. We've been singing about the church as being like an army, being members of his army. It carries incredible prestige being a servant of the Lord. Just think about this little illustration. Now you meet someone and you're chatting to them and you ask them, what's your job? We always seem to ask that question, don't we? What's your job? What do you do for a living? Or if you're retired, what did you do for a living? And if the person says, well, I used to answer the phone. What do you think? You go, oh, well, you know, it's a reasonable job. It's not too bad, just answering the phone. So then you say, so where did you answer a phone? Oh, the Roman Palace. I answered to the bones of the queen. Suddenly, the person goes up in your estimation. Where we work, who we work for, has incredible prestige. As Christians, we are working for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the right relationship with God. We are serving the Lord, the one who has created heaven and earth, who sustains all things, who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful, who is wonderful beyond our comprehension. This is who we are working for. And because of that, that knowledge that we are in the Lord, that we're saved, that alone should help us to rejoice in any situation, whatever circumstances that come our way. We are called to rejoice. We always have something to smile about. Even when life is tough, even when it's painful so that we feel that we can't even bear it, inwardly there should be that little nugget of joy that in the right relationship with the Lord, that we know where we are going, that we know God. It's wonderful, wonderful things. So we're called, first of all, to rejoice in the Lord. And then in verse 5, it talks about, let your gentleness be evident to all. Our gentleness should be seen by the people around us. We know, don't we, that people, they tend to rejoice when they're happy. It's a real joyful thing. As people who are in the right relationship with the Lord, we should be rejoicing, and we should be people who are known for our kindness, for our gentleness, for our generosity, for our humility, for putting other people first. Not only when we're together as a group of believers and then we're just like everybody else during the week. No, we should be different in all that we do. We should be known for being honest and good and upright and fair, of not seeking to take advantage of people, of putting other people first. We should be the most trustworthy employees if we've got a job. We should be the first ones to volunteer for that awkward role. That's always good for them. I used to work in an office not so long ago, and they had a real job when I was leaving, because somehow, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I seemed to be doing lots and lots of extra jobs, which then had to be shared out across the rest of the team, which didn't go down too well, really. But, you know, as Christians, when we're in the workplace, we should be the person who is volunteering for those extra roles. You know, we should be good neighbors. You know, helping people out, being kind to those around us, and genuinely caring, and being gentle, not being self-seeking. And we do this because the Lord is near. Now that can be taken two ways, and I'm not sure which way to take it, so I'll share both of them. First of all, we don't know when we're going to get to the end of the race. We don't know that day when we see Jesus face to face. For some of us, we may die, we go to be with Jesus. We don't know that day, it happens when the diary, is it? And we certainly don't know the day upon which the Lord is going to return. So there's great uncertainty there. So we need to be running the race, living the life, being the Lord's servant, because we don't know if today is the last day that we've got. And if today is the last day that we've got, we want to do as well as we possibly can. So we're encouraged to do the best that we possibly can each and every day. And of course, the other reminder that the Lord is near is thinking about who God is. So often we focus so much upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see him seated there at the right hand of the Father in indescribable glory and honour and power. And he may seem distant and far away. We need to remember, don't we, that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God with the three parts. And that means that God is here. It's like Jesus is in the room with us. God is everywhere. Which is wonderful, because when we go through times of trouble, he sees, he knows, he's aware, he cares, he's able to support you. Unfortunately, it also means that when we trip over our own feet and make a mistake, he sees that as well. That secret sin that no one will ever know about, that one done behind closed doors, there's always one who knows. He's always near, whatever situation we find ourselves in. He is there, and he is able to help. And that should help us and motivate us to stick to the narrow path, to stand against the temptation that we find ourselves facing. And as we remember all these things, and remember that the Lord is near, it really helps with our anxiety. Anxiety is a terrible, terrible thing. You spend so much time worrying about the thing that you did ages ago that you can't undo, or you spend so much time worrying about the things going to happen tomorrow, you completely miss the moment, and you end up going through life constantly fretting, not being able to sleep. It really robs your joy. Anxiety does. It's a terrible, terrible thing. As Christians, we need to learn to rest in the moment where we are today, knowing that those things done in the past have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, washed away by his blood. We just need to learn to forgive ourselves. And if there's any problems from the past, we can trust in the Lord to sort them out. And when it comes to the problems of tomorrow, they haven't arrived yet. We can trust in the Lord to help us as we face each hurdle that's on that pathway that we're going down. He will carry us through. And if you start to worry about that, just remember the times he's carried you over hurdles in the past. He is good and faithful. He is near and he knows. So we should not be anxious about anything. But when things pop up, and things do pop up, what do? We take them straight to him. Prayers and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. How often do we forget the awesome privilege of prayer? Being able to come directly into the Lord's presence and bring our little desires. He's the one who holds the nations of the world in the palm of his hand. He's the one who has got all power, who can make the stars stop shining with just a word. And yet he's got the time for our prayers and petitions. So it's with thanksgiving we come into his presence and we lay the things at his feet and we leave the problems at his feet, knowing that he is good and trustworthy and he will carry us through. And when we do that, our anxiety turns to that wonderful thing, peace. This world is constantly striving for peace. It's what people want, is peace. They want to have that peace, and it's in that old Jewish sense as well, that peace where you're in the right relationship with God and the right relationship with other people. This is the peace that the Lord can give to his people. And it guards our hearts and minds. You can picture it a bit like this, a bit like an old castle with all the battlements up there. And in the heart of this castle, in the middle of the keep, in its vault, there's our hearts and there's our minds there. Who we really are on the inside, our hearts and our thinking as well. And on the battlements, being patrolled by the peace of God, keeping us safe, no matter what this world throws against us. This is the place that we can be when, either through prayers and petitions, we present our requests to God, the God who is near. And the person who's at peace is the person who is filled with joy, who is able to rejoice in all of the life circumstances, to keep on smiling, whatever it is that the life throws at us.
These are wonderful, wonderful promises for us.
Things which really help us to cross the hurdles. Things which help us to be the people that the Lord wants us to be. To keep on smiling. And this is what we find in the final two verses, in verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We all know, don't we, that you are what you eat. We take food in, we digest it, and we turn whatever it is we're eating, that's pies or lettuce, and pretty much anything in between, into our bodies, living tissue. We are what we eat. And the same is true when it comes to spiritual things. The things that we expose ourselves to in the world come into us, and they affect the sort of people that we actually are. And it's not just Christians who know this. The psychologists know this as well. And, you know, even the politicians talk about it. There's great concern about the things in our society which people are exposing themselves to. If you read the news, it regularly comes up, you know, the dangers of the young people exposing themselves to vast amounts of pornography or these violent computer games. It's been shown that these things affect their behaviour and change the sort of people that they are so that they do unthinkable things. What we take in affects the sort of people we are. And that is as true for the Christian as it is for anyone else. If we take garbage in, then garbage is what comes out. But if we take in what is good, then in turn, good things come out of us. We need to be people who are sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, so that we can identify the good from the bad. We need to be looking at God's word and seeing what God's word says so that the Holy Spirit working within us and God's word is the guide to the pathway that we should be going in. So we need to be people who focus on what is true, not on falsehood. What is noble, not what is base and disgusting. What is right, not what is wrong. What is pure, rather than things that are dirty. Things that are excellent and praiseworthy, rather than things that you'd be ashamed of, that are no good for you. We need to make these decisions in our daily walk. Because every time we're tempted, it's a choice. We can choose to go with the temptation and go into things that we know are going to damage us, and what we take in, we can't keep it in isolation. The Lord is near. He sees. And what goes in affects what comes out. We need to be people who make that decision, that choice to go the right way, to follow the things that are true and good and pure and lovely. These are the things that we should be seeking after. The Lord has given us his word to help us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And he's also given us godly examples in other Christians. Christians who have gone before us, maybe Christians that we know. In verse 9 of here, of this letter, the Apostle Paul, he said, look at me and follow me. Use me as a model. If you see me doing something, and it's something right, then you do the same things. And as Christians, we need to be doing the same thing. We need to be looking for Christians to model, to do the sort of things that they do. And at the same time, we also need to be aware that other Christians might be looking at us. That sends a shiver up your spine, doesn't it? People might be looking to you to be a role model, an example as a Christian. So we need to be on our guard about that as well. So this is such a helpful and encouraging passage. It brings us great assurance and confidence in times of trouble, but at the same time, it's got that little sting in the tail, that call to purity which we see repeated time and time again in God's Word, which can be a great challenge to us, because all of us, no matter how long we've been Christians, we know that there's still areas where there's a bit of polish needed, still areas that need tidying up. We've still got the old odd skeleton in the closet that we don't want anyone to find out about. As Christians, we know that we're not perfect, but we need to remember that we're running this race, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we get to see him face to face, when the day finally arrives for us, then, through his final work in our lives, we will be made like him. And so, we will become the perfect people that the Lord wants us to be. So just to close, a couple of things for us to, a few lessons for us to take to heart. First of all, when we find ourselves facing trouble, take it to the Lord straight away. Trust in the Lord and focus on today. Don't be anxious about yesterday. Don't be worried about tomorrow. Live in today. Trust in him. Be grounded in him. Don't stick your head in the sand. Trust in him for tomorrow's and trust in him about the yesterdays. We should be known as kind, gentle, good-hearted, generous people. That's very tough, because this world seems to take whatever it wants from people. But we need to be people who are different. Not because we're a match to be walked all over, but because we're serving the Lord, and it's what he's called us to do. So we need to be people who are known for being kind. And our lives and attitudes should be a witness to the God of glory before we even open our mouths and try and share the gospel with people. We should stand out as people who are different. And people should be asking, why are you different? And that leads to opportunity to share God's word. And thirdly, we've got that clear call to stay away from evil, which is getting harder and harder for people. For those of you who have been born into a Christian family, it's much easier for you than it is for those who have been converted from a dark background. But on all of us, the call is there to stay away from evil. And we need to remember that we're a team working together so we can support and encourage and pray for one another in this task. We need to be people who are on our guard, but at the same time, the people who can rejoice. Because of all the people in this world, we're the only people who have got a genuine, proper reason to always have a smile on our face, whatever is thrown at us. Amen.